want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Doctor, if I really, really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's not good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the wall, and I'd like to give you information, asking for me. But blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear. Blood makes noise. And I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show. This is your host, Dave Hodges, and we come to you live at this time every Sunday evening from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. on the Pacific Coast. And we've got a great show for you tonight. In just a moment, we're going to be joined by my good friend, Douglas J. Hagman. And we're going to be talking about what's in Doug's wheelhouse. We had a conversation earlier today before airtime, and it was, let's put it this way, it's astounding what's going on. And so much is at stake right now. We are at the pivotal crossroads, and Doug and I are going to get into that. In the second hour, we're going to be joined by James Wesley Rawls, and Jim's been on once before. Great guest, very knowledgeable about economic issues, precious metals, you name it. This guy knows about it economically, and we're going to hit that pretty hard in the second hour because I think Donald Trump is going to be met with absolute economic catastrophe when he takes over. And in the third hour, and this is something that I have asked Bob Griswold to address, let's put it this way. When you hear the first hour, you'll understand why I've got the third hour organized the way I do with Bob Griswold from ReadyMadeResources.com. Reason being, because I really feel that when they take the independent media down and if something happens to Donald Trump, and I think those events are going to happen in near proximity to each other, then yours truly and others like us are going to need to go into hiding. And we'll get into some of that, I'm sure, with Doug. We'll certainly explore that with Bob. And we're going to talk about how to effectively bug out, as well as some other issues. And this is something that, you know, you could be prominent in your company. You could be supporting independent media like crazy and be on the second tier of what Steve Quayle calls the blue list. So you're not going to want to miss that last hour. Well, the first hour is brought to you by, speaking of Steve Quayle, Renaissance Precious Metals. I'm telling you, you're running out of time to convert your soon-to-be worthless cash into precious metals. And I've said this ad nauseum on this show, and if you haven't got a good portion of your cash converted, it's almost too late. Give Steve a call tomorrow at 406-586-4842. Also, a sponsor for this hour is Ready Made Resources. My friend Bob Griswold, who will be with us in the third hour. And Ready Made Resources, to me, is the prepper's prepper. I think they're the most deluxe prepping group in the world. Bob Griswold has everything that you could possibly need or want to get ready for almost every possibility that's coming. So you're going to want to go to readymaderesources.com. Check it out. Phone number is right there on the website, and you'll hear Bob give out that number tonight in the third hour. Also, we're brought to you by Numana Foods. You don't think that the other side isn't going to use food as a weapon? You know, Michael Moore is calling for a tremendous disruption of the inauguration. That just broke this afternoon, and it's just hitting the media as we came to air. And, you know, Donald Trump yesterday advocated for the assassination of Donald Trump. Well, these two things I don't think are loosely related, and they're going to use food against us, folks. I'm telling you right now, and don't get caught on the wrong side of this equation. Go to numana.com/Hodges, and through the holidays, we're going to have that 5% off sale that's going to stay up. Simply use the coupon code Hodges, NOV5, to take 5% off your order. And when you're on our YouTube page, and we hope you'll visit there often because a lot of you wanted me to do daily shows, I can't, with my schedule, commit to a regular schedule. But I am doing podcasts, as you know. Some of those include interviews with very prominent people, very knowledgeable people. Some of them are brief reactions I have to current events that are going on. Simply go to our YouTube page, which is The Common Sense Show, and don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to like us. And that takes care of the preliminaries. Now let's go to Pennsylvania for this. I'm telling you, this is going to be a very critical hour, I think, in the history of this show, because we're going to unveil an awful lot. Welcome, my friend, Douglas J. Hagman, to The Common Sense Show. Doug, thanks for joining us. And I don't think in all the years I've done this, and I would imagine all the years you've done this, which is longer than I've done this, that you've seen such perilous times for America.
Yeah, Dave, thanks so much for having me. And very true. We are in some very treacherous waters, I must say. And I think that, you know what, I don't think people are understanding the severity of what's happening out there. Now, I do want to mention this. You've got such a great lineup tonight. We had James Wesley Rawls on exactly 1 month ago today on our program, and what a tremendous source of information. And of course, I also love Bob Griswold as well. So, folks, keep listening to Dave Hodges tonight. But you know, yeah, the perilous times indeed. And you mentioned Michael Moore. It's interesting. He came out with his hashtag #DisruptJ20 and said that he plans to lead that particular protest or that disruption. Nonviolent disruption, and it's interesting that the phrases that he's been using that does suggest that he wants to see something happens, because he couched his plans. He said that he plans to disrupt his inauguration, Trump's inauguration. That is, and I quote, by some awful happenstance that the president-elect does show up for it, which it has some interesting connotations to that particular phrase. So we have to be watching.
You know, I would just say for Michael Moore, the answer to slowing him down might be just to take away his pizza.
Yes, indeed. And of course, boy, that's a whole nother topic, however, an important one at that.
Doug, let me be more specific, okay? When you jump into the fray the way these people are jumping in and the way they are mired in the controversy we have with Pizzagate, I wonder how many of these liberal so-and-sos have a lot to hide. I mean, is it pepperoni or is it cheese? And I'm telling you, I would call for an investigation of Michael Moore. Michael, you want to sling poop? I'm slinging poop right back at you. And there's people who think that they can disrupt our processes. We need to put them under the microscope and call them out for what they are. Call them out for the perverts that they are.
Indeed. And I'll tell you this, Dave, it's interesting how the narrative, and I don't like the use of that word, however, the narrative of fake news had really it got a lot of traction with the disclosure of what is now known as Pizzagate, which is ill-named in my view. It should be Pedogate, because this is much larger than any one particular establishment, much larger than any one particular area. This is a global satanic ritual abuse organized process. It is not what, I mean, it's huge. It is not just any one person or any one group. This involves people on both sides, powerful and influential people on both sides of the aisle, political leaders, that is, global leaders, ambassadors, and, I mean, you name it, people are involved in this. And as a matter of fact, just so people understand how big this is, just last month alone, and this did not receive any kind of press here in the United States, other than I think it was mentioned perhaps by the Associated Press, Norway had busted the largest dark web child pornography network in history, taking down an online network that was, well, it had 150 terabytes of information, 150 terabytes of videos and photographs. And so people understand that the enormity of this, the entire, I believe it is the... Well, for context, the Library of Congress holds about 600 terabytes of internet data. So this is 150 terabytes. It's about 25% of the Library of Congress. So if people don't think that this is a big issue. It's a huge issue. So I wanted to mention that. But what I was saying before, the fake news narrative that is really being pushed in conjunction with Russia interference in our elections. You and I spoke, Dave, weeks before the election. And I believe totally that it was the globalist objective to cast doubt on the legitimacy of the winner of this election. Their goals are bigger than taking out Trump. Their goal is to take down the entire constitutional representative republic of the United States. And I think people have to understand the enormity of it.
I'll tell you, Doug, that's a case of great minds think alike, I guess. When you brought up Norway a moment ago, I was writing
yes.
Norway with asterisk marks. At the same time, you were starting to bring this up. One of the things I want to add about the Norway situation, you know, first of all, politicians and lawyers and prominents are involved. And the Norwegian police are conducting these stings. They have 51 people under arrest. Either three or four have already been prosecuted successfully and convicted. And what I really find interesting about this is the Norwegian press can write about this and no one is saying it's fake news. But if you talk about pedophilia here, you're a fake news artist and you're from the Soviet Union and you're trying to help Vladimir Putin reconstruct the Soviet Union. It's incredible when we expose what goes on in Europe and then come over here, Doug, and if we say the same things they're saying, we're Russian agents. It's mind-boggling. It's maddening.
You know, well, and I suppose, any number of areas where we could start, but since we're on the subject of Norway, when you look at the fake news narrative associated with Norway, I find it very interesting and very telling that Stephen Colbert had dedicated, I think it was 10 to 15 minutes on one of his recent shows. Of course, he is the host of one of the late-night talk shows, one of the late-night comedy shows, I guess. But he had dedicated about 10, 12 minutes to Pizzagate, alt-right, and fake news, combining that entire, all three phrases into his laughable destruction of the actual news, taking down, attempting to debunk this entire story. So in one fell swoop, what he was trying to do is, and the audience, I was really, really interested in how the audience reacted to this, because when he talked about fake news, the audience, you know, was very responsive to it. Now, I'm sure they're prompted. However, it went beyond the prompting that you would see in a television studio. So the audience, and I believe the population in general, of course, they are believing the lie that anything that implicates or indicts the people in power now, and especially and including the Clintons, the Clinton Foundation, the people like David Brock, the NGOs associated with the Clinton Foundation, I think that people are trying to, well, there's a level of cognitive dissonance as well as this rejection of the truth that people have. So we are in the crosshairs. Dave, you and I, to really cut to the chase on this, I think you and I, as well as any other alternative media source, are in the crosshairs of people who are coming at us asymmetrically. And I really want people to understand this. It is not just taking us down or attempting to take us down. What they're attempting to do, or their tactics and their methods of operation, include contacting our sponsors, attempting to take away our sponsors, attempting to demonetize things that would pay our bills, attempting to just making lies on a whole cloth about various situations. And you'll see this on the internet. And those stories will be more prominent on searches, on search engines like Google, for example, than any other article or story associated with their names. So it's a very asymmetrical attack against the alternative media or the new media or the real media in this case, as opposed to the it's much more than people understand. So we are fighting. We get up in the morning, Dave, and folks, I mean, Dave gets up in the morning, I get up, or Steve gets up in the morning, and as soon as we get up, I mean, we are right then at a defensive posture, because I know for a fact, you know, Steve, all three of us talk, and we are always fighting the false news stories about us, or we are always fighting the attacks against us that come in the form of attacks on our sponsors, or attempts to take us down, or manipulate the numbers, for example, on our websites. I mean, any number of ways. So it's just not what we can see or what people can see. It is a very large-scale attack. And I didn't mean to wander on, you know, and or ramble on.
No, I think people need to understand. Perfectly. You're going right down the avenue where my mind was running right alongside you, Doug. And, you know, you brought up attacking our website numbers. Doug, since we talked on the phone this afternoon, I've done some further analysis. On the surface, my programs tell me this week has been a 50% reduction from last week. Yet I went back and added up the comments to the articles, and this week's comments were greater in volume. And then you add in the fact that I looked at some of the shares on social media with my articles, and the social media shares were up by about 7% over the previous week. In other words, they're lying about these numbers, and only 10 to 20% of the people that come to my website at thecommonsenseshow.com do so from the search engines. They usually come from third-party sites. Steve Quayle is my biggest, and Steve is kind enough and gracious enough to run most of my articles. In fact, he runs all my articles and displays them prominently, for which I'm eternally grateful. And people come in from Steve. People come in from Before It's News. People come in from the own social media sites like Scene.life that I participate in. And very few come in from places like Google. So why would the numbers say they're that much less? Makes no sense. And my advertising revenue for my automatics, Doug, is exactly the same this week as it was last week. So every indicator I have says that Google is manipulating, and really there's no change in what's coming to my website in terms of traffic volume.
Exactly. And I do believe that this is how it's going to play out incrementally against the against people like you and I in websites like ours. And I think, and especially with those who make a living at attempting to get the truth out, disseminate the truth among the ocean and sea of lies, this is how a lot of this is going to play out. The low-hanging fruit, for example, will get hit first, and then they will go for the more formidable sites and sources. And soon, and I do believe this, they're going to have to take down at least the majority of the alt-right, shall I say, or the alternative news sources, because if they don't, and a false flag or some sort of diversion, I'm not even sure I would call it a false flag, but some sort of event, when that happens, and you and I spoke about this earlier, when something like that happens, they cannot allow the real story of this to really be disseminated among the people, especially the people in our position. So we, I do believe, more today more than ever before, it's more dangerous for people like us, for people who are telling the truth about the sexual and satanic ritual abuse of children, for talking about the human trafficking, which is a commodity, a huge business, and exposing the darkness that's out there. I think this is. I think it's never been more dangerous for all of us to exist and to keep on putting out the information. So people need to understand that.
You know, it's interesting, Doug, and I've shared this with you in the past. Broadcaster Josh Coy from WYDE, biggest FM station in Alabama, very popular show there, he contacted me, Doug, as I told you about a month ago, and said that he had been on the dark web through a third-party source, never does it on his own computer, which is smart, and I advise everyone stay off the dark web from your own computer, because they will plant child porn on you. And they have all kinds of traps set up to do that. But what Josh said was that he read specifically about yours truly in saying that, you know, Hodges is someone that can't be compromised, and he needs to have an accidental accident Boston brakes, which is where they take control of your car, do various things to you, cause you to crash, and it looks innocently like an accident. And Josh was so upset. I mean, he called me and he says, he actually texted me and said, I don't care what you're doing. I know you're busy during the day. Stop what you're doing and call me immediately. I've never heard this from Josh in the 4 years I've known him. And I called him and he just said, Dave, this is here. It's real. And I tried to get him to go back in and do some things to give me copies, but he said he's not even going back on it again. This so freaked him out. And he said, I was not the only one that was mentioned, and I'm not going to mention my colleagues along with me, but here's where I'm going with this long-winded explanation. It's funny that the dark web would be saying, you know, basically assassinate Dave Hodges, but on the other side of the coin, the dark web is what the Norwegian police are breaking up in terms of this pedophile ring. And I have a feeling if they dig deeper, they will be stopped, because I know from my previous investigations into pedophile rings, it's international. And this is what the late Georgia State Senator Nancy Schaefer was exposing when she was the victim of a murder-suicide, where the murderer, her husband, shot himself in the back of the head. Now, you know where I'm going with that. She was exposing the international nature of pedophilia in Europe when she was killed. And Doug, I'm telling you, the Norwegian police are knocking right on the doorstep. Look for something to happen there to derail that investigation.
And I totally agree with that. When you look at the principles involved, you've got royalty in the city of London at the seat of this. You've got the Vatican, and this is not a slam against Catholics or Catholics who are listening to this, but you've got the Vatican, including but not limited to people like Cardinal Timothy Dolan, the Archbishop of New York. You've got members of Congress. Don't forget Dennis Hastert. You've got, of course, Jeffrey Epstein and Sandusky and Jimmy Savile across the pond, and Thatcher's Home Secretary, Sir Leon Britton, I believe his name was. At any rate, you've got a whole cross-section of very powerful and very influential people involved in this. And you know what, Dave, at the same time, and I'd like to mention this, because I do believe that we are going to see in the coming days, between now and your next show, you're going to see such an outcry over the foreign influence on this 2016 presidential election that it's going to really threaten, I do believe it's going to threaten the integrity of the inauguration and, of course, Trump's ascendancy into the presidency. But at the same time, I think people really need to recall that, I think it was back in 2012, in fact it was, there's a Supreme Court case, Blumen versus the Federal Elections Commission. The Supreme Court ruled 9-0 to disallow foreigners to contribute to U.S. political campaigns. Now, here we have a story today that the Russians have effectively hacked and allegedly hacked and somehow influenced, whether intentional or not, influenced our presidential campaign. Well, think about that in the context of the Clinton Foundation, Hillary Clinton, where, again, it's against the law for foreigners to contribute to U.S. political campaigns. However, during the, I'll just give you one example, during the Clinton senatorial, her tenure as a senator, while Senator Clinton obtained two-thirds of her, through her husband, Bill Clinton's speaking fees, two-thirds of the money received by the Clinton Senate campaign was from foreign sources, and that extended to her presidential campaign. Now, this was not directly because of the 2012 SCOTUS ruling. However, it was funneled through the Clinton Foundation, through the Bill, Hillary, and Chelsea Clinton Foundation. So the reason I mentioned all of this is the very accusations of the Russian influence that brought Trump into power and allegedly kept Hillary from power, or the very operations that Clinton used to fund her presidential campaign and also to fund her for self-enrichment. And if people might recall, 85 out of 154 official meetings while she was the Secretary of State were donors to the Clinton Foundation that had positive results from their meetings. So I said all of that just to say this. What they are accusing the Trump campaign, or what they're saying happened with respect to Trump, the campaign today, is exactly out of their playbook what they did really from 1996 or 1997 when the Clinton Foundation was founded until today. But this extends far beyond the Clinton Foundation, but I'm just using that as an example.
No, you're right on the money. I have beat that horse until it's times nine, Doug, during the campaign. And I said, look at the Clinton Foundation, the pay-for-play. A lot of it's foreign. You know, the uranium sales to the Russians, which is treason on itself. And that money goes back to the Clinton Foundation, which is commingled with presidential campaign funds. I mean, right there, that was enough to put her fanny in prison. But again, we are a nation without rules, Doug. We're playing in a game that has no rules whatsoever.
You're exactly right. And, you know, we're looking at, I think we're looking at a playing field right now. And you and I spoke, you and I spoke before the program. The Countering Disinformation and Propaganda Act, which is the Senate version of H.R. 6393, which is the Intelligence Authorization Act for fiscal year 2017, contains language that has set up this oversight and prosecution or potential prosecution for foreign involvement, and it takes it a step further, and that's going after foreign influence, specifically Russian influence, and we under Title V of that particular act, and people can read it. It's a 93-page document that was just passed as Senate Bill 2692. The bottom line here is they're going after any type of media outlet they believe to be a propaganda source or fake news. Now, they don't say fake news, but a propaganda source or a source for foreign propaganda and disinformation operations. And that would include, by definition, your show, my show, Steve's website, your website, our website, and the entirety of the what they would term as the alt-right.
Well, I guess, Doug, I'm confused, though. How are they defining foreign propaganda? Do you have any idea?
I don't think they are defining it, and that's the problem. I think what they're doing is they're saying anybody who disagrees with the narrative, with their narrative, with the captured Illuminati-controlled mass media, corporate media, anybody who disagrees or is at odds with their findings, they must be foreign-controlled. They must be controlled by the Russians. They must be Russian operatives. And they're lumped into this blacklist. Now, some use the adjective pejorative McCarthyism, which McCarthy was right, so I don't even like that that description. But I think I don't believe there's any kind of Dave. I don't believe that they. It's just they lump everything together. So I don't believe that there's any real scope or reasoning behind it. I think it's just an excuse where they could throw everything under that umbrella, the umbrella of foreign propaganda, if it doesn't fit with their narrative.
Well,
that's just me.
I think it's communitarian law, and for those who aren't familiar with the term, in America, your freedom of speech, your right to bear arms, right to due process, and so forth is inviolate. In other words, the government doesn't get to decide whether you have those rights in the way the Constitution was created. You have them no matter what the government says. Now, in Europe, they say, well, you've got the right for freedom of speech, you've got the right to due process, as long as it's in the common, or I like to say, the communist good. And who gets to make the decision on what's in the common good? Well, the communists do. And we are watching the shifting of American constitutionalism into European communitarian law.
Precisely. And you said that a whole lot more eloquent than I could have said that. And going back to what your question about, how do you how do you associate this foreign influence? There is no formal way, really, of proving whether or not there is indeed a foreign propaganda sponsor. So what we see is everything is packaged politely in this veneer of countering disinformation and propaganda for the safety purpose of keeping safe our citizens, of course. So the bill, when this particular piece of legislation reaches the desk of Obama, it will effectively give our government a full mandate to shut down, to punish, or to otherwise prosecute any website, any radio show, any form of communication that it deems offensive and a source of foreign government propaganda, whether it's from Russia, China, or any other nation. They don't even have to prove, and that's the problem here. They don't have to prove foreign involvement. They just have to suspect it, because if you look at the Drudge Report today, it's the only outlets, for example, that are saying that there was any foreign involvement, specifically Russia, in our election process, are the members of the media. Now, you'll have the occasional intelligence, unsourced intelligence agency or agent. However, if you look a layer deeper, there's always a level of, well, there's another agenda at play there. So we're in a pickle here. We're in a mess. And I think people really need to understand how deep this goes and how much of a mess we're in right now.
It's just mind-boggling. Here's the logic behind this. And let me put some common sense into this, if you will. If I ran a fake news site, and I am wholly inaccurate, and I'm doing so intentional, because propaganda is with willful thought and action, and if I was doing that, and I'm not correct, the listening audience and my readers would just disavow me and stop visiting my work and not pay attention to me, and my work would die a natural death. Now, if I advocate for the violent overthrow of the United States, that's a federal crime. They already have the means to come after me. So what harm is anybody doing if they promote what someone else says is fake news? I fail to see the threat, except they really just want to control the narrative when they take us over, take away our rights, get rid of the undesirables, or as Hillary would say, the deplorables, and enforce their satanic will upon our country.
Exactly. And you're 100% accurate. And of course, the laws apply to us. They don't apply to Michael Moore. You know, people like Michael Moore, or apparently with impunity, he can go out and call for the assassination or suggest the taking out of Trump, for example, and really provoke a widespread civil resistance to the streets, whether it be through direct actions or indirect actions. This is what Moore is doing, and others are doing as well. Those people operate with impunity. You and I attempt to get the truth out there. That, of course, becomes either hate speech or subversive talk or subversive action. And there it is. We can be shut down. It's stopping the truth. And that's the whole, to me, this is the whole reason why you've got this fake news moniker. This is why you've got the Russian influence or foreign influence over the elections. All of this is to take down the actual truth, whether it be via the internet or radio shows, whatever it might be. This is the reason, and I think people really need to pay attention, because when they turn the dial, or when they attempt to turn on your show and it's not there, then it's too late by that point, in my view.
Well, I'm mulling over whether or not I should reveal some of what we talked about today with regard to the takedown of the independent media and how it could tie to other events. What do you think? Should we go there, Doug? Or
I don't see why not. If we don't do it now, we might not have the chance to.
I'm going
to
write about it in the morning with more detail, and I'm getting more information as we go, so you're getting the Reader's Digest version, if you will. But, Doug, I had proposed to you, and we talked about this at some length this afternoon, that if I were a globalist, a planner, you know, a George Soros, a Brzezinski, someone who might make some decisions, you know, from mid-level management up in the global empire. Let me back up. I see a three-tiered attempt to stop Donald Trump. The first one has already failed, which is the recount. I do think the Electoral College could keep Trump from getting to 270. I think that's a possibility, but I don't think it's a probability, and I suspect that Trump will survive that. Well, then they have to stop Donald Trump himself. And if they can't implicate him and try him and impeach him on something, which I don't think he's vulnerable, then they have to kill him. But I want to go back to 1963. When John Kennedy was killed, without the benefit of the internet and without the benefit of the independent media, you know, we effectively solved that crime. It's just we didn't have an outlet of people that would air this on a consistent basis, because with the mainstream media, as we know, is bought and paid for. Can you imagine if Donald Trump is assassinated, what the reaction would be with Steve and you and myself and others coming out, and here's the latest report? If they think Pizzagate is big, the assassination of Donald Trump would be huge, and the independent media's ratings would soar, and Fox and CNN would look and say, what the hell just happened to our sponsors? They've all left us. They can't have that happen. So it's my premise that if they move to the assassination card, they're also going to, in that same tragic period of grief and chaos, that's when they're going to take down the independent media. One fell swoop. And people will have a hard time knowing where to turn for information, because there won't be. Our people are conditioned, Doug, to come to the independent media for the truthful news. They get the BS during the day that they might hear when they're out shopping or driving in the car, and then they turn around and they come to us to, hey, here's the real interpretation. Where will those people go if we're taken down? So I think that, number one, Trump gets assassinated, and I think within 48 to 72 hours, you and I will cease to exist as a news outlet.
And as I said earlier, I would have to agree with you on that. And that's the worst case scenario, I believe. He could very well be, I believe at the moment he's sworn into office, they're going to attempt to impeach him, period. I'll just leave it at that. I'm sure articles of impeachment will be drawn up and then be revised as necessary. Of course, again, they want to delegitimize Trump if he makes it into office, and if he makes it into month one, two, and three. And we think back not just to 1963, but to 1980 when or 81 when Reagan was shot just a few months into his tenure as president. You know, if you look at the template, what you just described there, and comparing it to 1963, or at least referencing 1963, and Oswald the Lone Kook, I find it very telling and interesting that wasn't he at one point painted out to be this Russian operative at one point?
Yes. Cuban, you know, sympathizer, so, yep.
Yes, and of course, you know, fled them to Russia, the USSR at the time, and a big deal was made of that. So are we being set up, perhaps, in much like the public was in 1963 or 1962-63, and the difference being, of course, they've got this pesky fake news, or actually this pesky real news to contend with. And they've got to neutralize the truth before they can execute their operations, unlike 1963, but pretty much the same template that they used back then.
I'm going to answer your assertion this way, Doug. To the listening audience, please download the archive for this hour and save it where it can't be erased digitally. Don't save it to your computer. Save it to your personal player, or if you have a kid has a personal player, save it there. Because what I'm telling you is what I'm convinced is going to happen. Why? Because Doug and I put ourselves in the other guy's shoes and say, what would we do? Well, they need to eliminate command and control against the resistance. That's the independent media. If they kill Donald Trump, why have the independent media have a week or a month to basically espouse all the things that they did to Donald Trump in the lead up to the assassination? They'll take us down immediately and stop that. And I'll go one step further. There will be civil unrest, so they're going to get their martial law. And, of course, we could bring in, blame the Russians for some part of this, and they get their World War III. As easy as 1, two, three. And as my friend Bob Griswold will tell you in the third hour, it's been his assertion all along, we're at the edge of World War III and the edge of Civil War, and we are also in the throes of soft martial law, soon to be hard martial law, Doug. So I think that when this hits, it's going to hit so fast, people will have no idea what happened.
No, I totally agree with you on that. And I'd like to kind of throw this out there for wherever this piece of the puzzle might fit, since we're talking about, well, foreign influence, among other things, and we're talking about the bigger picture. If you go back to WikiLeaks, and we still don't know the status of Julian Assange, but if you go back to the most damaging WikiLeaks, I believe that there's a website called Most Damaging WikiLeaks, and number 53 on that list is Hillary Clinton's ties to Russia. It's not Trump's ties to Russia, but the WikiLeaks admission in I believe it was. I'm not going to try to identify the WikiLeaks by number, but it did state where Hillary Clinton said that, you know, Mr. Prime Minister, we actually have some things in common. We talked about a lot of issues that were not the hot button issues between us, you know, and with respect to missile defense and such. But this shows a direct tie. And also, as you talked about, and you really exposed, I believe you were on the front lines of exposing the granting of Russia control of 20% of America's uranium assets. So Julian Assange, though, stated flat out that Hillary Clinton is the only presidential candidate, this is back now about a year ago, with corruption ties to Russia. So you were on the front lines of all of this, and I just wanted to throw that out there because I think it's an important data point that everyone needs to really kind of keep in mind as we continue talking about what we're talking about, the potential takedown of a legitimately elected president.
Well, Doug, I want to add one more thing to that, too. Back in, gosh, I think it was April of 2015. Now, these things all run together after a certain amount of time, but I think it was April of 2015. The New York Times was the first media outlet. It wasn't the independent media. It was the New York Times that ran a story about Uranium One being a front company controlled by the Clinton Foundation, which they were doing these uranium deals. First of all, that's an act of treason. Second of all, as we already talked about, the proceeds went into the Clinton Foundation that gets commingled with presidential campaign money, another set of felonies right there. But it was the New York Times, Doug. So, wait a minute. Was the New York Times lying then, or are they lying now? Were they doing fake news then, or are they doing fake news now?
Excellent point. Excellent point. Yeah. You're precisely correct on this. This is one of the most convoluted, and I'll use the term again, asymmetrical warfare against the American people in terms of really changing, revising the truth that there ever has been, I believe, in American history. And I think that we're on the front edges of the playbook or the front edges of what's going to be taking place. I do believe that we're going to see whatever's going to happen. I think they're going to have to pull the proverbial trigger here sooner rather than later. I'm not giving any time frames, but I think between now and the date of an inauguration, or I'll just say this, between now and the 21st of January is perhaps the most dangerous time in American history.
Yeah, my gut tells me if they're going to make a move, it'll be before Congress convenes on the 3rd to decide what they're going to do with the Electoral College results on the 3rd of January. So either way, we're not going to have long.
Exactly. And I'm just wondering, too, about the Electoral College, since you brought this up. I'll just ask you this. How likely do you think it is where neither one of the candidates will attain the 270 needed for a nomination or to be elected?
Yeah, I'm not a betting guy, but if I had a gun put to my head, I'd say 30 to 40%. I think Trump is going to probably prevail. But, you know, I know of an elector who was attempted bribery with their vote. Ken Clark from Texas, as I said on your show Thursday night, is receiving intense pressure. And I've encouraged him to go back and actually try to read as many of the emails as he can. I think he's around 1,000, if I'm not mistaken, Doug. Hard to believe that they don't have a chance to get 22 more in addition to the 15 they already have. But you bring up an interesting point. Let's just assume for a second that 37 or more electors will not vote for Donald Trump. And I don't think that's going to be enough necessarily to push Hillary to the victory circle. But it could keep Donald from being inaugurated, and you have a constitutional crisis. And I'm going to go back to, and I told you so, and I don't mean that towards you, Douglas J. Hagman. I mean this towards all of America. I have been saying since January of 2016 that I thought that Paul Ryan had an excellent chance of becoming president. I've laid out scenarios, and I'm going to give you another one. And the reason I've said it is because there's a reason why he filed paperwork to become president and run for that office in January and didn't do any campaigning. And here's the scenario, Doug, the latest one involving Paul Ryan. If Trump is assassinated in the constitutional crisis period where he didn't obtain 270 votes, everything is in flux. And I suspect that we would bring in the Speaker of the House, he would take Trump's place, and then the House would vote on who the president would be. Now, would Clinton challenge that in court? Oh, most likely. Then it'll go to the Supreme Court. Boy, flip a coin. The wild card there in this 4-4 standoff of liberals and conservatives is Justice Roberts. And I'm telling you, the man is dirty, as evidenced by what he did on the Obamacare vote. They got something on him. And I think Hillary would then win by a 5-3 vote. Otherwise, if the House part of this would stand with Trump's demise prior to the 3rd of January, then we would see Paul Ryan, in my estimation, becoming president as Speaker of the House.
Wow. That scenario by itself is just mind-blowing. But I think, you know, people should look at history and look at some of the legal opinions that are floating out there. For example, a law professor at Ohio State University, a guy by the name of Edward Foley, with respect to the Electoral College, for example, said that the Supreme Court never ruled that electors can be forced to obey their pledge, for example, to vote for a particular presidential candidate. That, of course, addresses what you were referring to about Ken Clark and other electors who've been getting just hammered and harassed by emails and such. All right, so if there is a mass defection with the elector, members of the Electoral College, or not so mass and it just kind of doesn't, neither candidate makes it to 270, then of course that is an issue for the House, and the scenario you painted becomes even more complex because the Constitution, I don't believe, is 100% clear. And I think I'm citing law professors from Harvard and Yale when I say this. What would happen, for example, if the Electoral College did not have a clear mandate, there was no clear mandate in the Electoral College, and something happened to a candidate, meaning Trump, the president-elect, meaning Trump, between the 20th of December and the 3rd of January. That would put us in just an enormous constitutional crisis that we've never been in that area before. So I think people have to think outside of the box when we're looking at this kind of stuff. Or, well, that's sufficient right there, to consider. It's just, we are in uncharted territory. I mean, there have been events, of course, examples of, we'll say, candidate deaths the president-elect, the one president-elect, I believe, died before inauguration. However, nothing as catastrophic as what we're talking about right now. So, right. Man.
The possibilities are mindless, but, you know, we're actually speaking, Doug, and I'm sure that there are probably people out there hearing this. We're assuming that Trump's going to be assassinated, and I'm telling you, people, listen, we can pray for divine intervention. and God can move mountains, but he's not going to move mountains in a nation as reprehensible as ours become with, what, 70 million aborted and, you know, the mass infantile genocide that we've had, Doug. Maybe he will. Maybe I'm wrong on this. But I think that by talking about it, we can maybe shine enough light on it that they go, oh, crap, they've already got this on the record. Got to go to plan B. Oh, they've talked about that. We got to go to plan C. And that is really my objective for talking about this, as I'm trying to save the man's life by exposing what I think could be the potential threats. And I know you're right there with me.
100%. And I had just a brief conversation with the author of Prepare for Persecution, Maria Canice, before the show, and her words were, remember, it's God more than the odds, or it's up to it's not the odds, it's God. And so despite the odds, it's God. So God's hand is in this as well, and I believe that God does have a hand of protection over us, and I believe that he's working his way, his miracles here, as we saw with Trump. I mean, despite the odds, I do believe that we're seeing God's work at play here. So, but nonetheless, man, you bring up some really interesting, and some might even say entertaining possibilities, but I do believe that we're in a realm that we've never been in before.
Yeah, I'm not in this for entertainment. That's why I'm chuckling. This is not entertainment speculation, because let me lay this on the table. The first thing I want Donald Trump to do is kick the you-know-what out of the corporations and fine the heck out of them for destroying this country's manufacturing fabric and taking so many millions of jobs with them. That's the first thing I want. The second thing I want is what he said today. I want to put God back into the schools. And I'll tell you where I'm heartened, and I'm hoping that God will show his tremendous mercy upon our nation, which I don't think we are deserving. If I were God, I'd spit on this nation for as reprehensible as we've become. But I'm heartened by something I saw yesterday, Doug. I have always, with my dad when I was little growing up, we watched the Army-Navy game, football game, every single year. And even when I was living apart from Dad, we would talk on the phone while the game was going on. It was our tradition, one of our big traditions we had. So in honor of his memory, I do this every year. And I was watching the game yesterday, and it's hard not to get tears in your eyes, because the crowd saw Trump being interviewed, and they broke out into, "Make America Great Again." Doug, I can't even say it. It was so
good. It was an amazing event yesterday, and you know, by comparison and contrast, I think Obama, what he showed up in 2011, maybe I don't know if he was at the game every year like it's the custom of presidents to attend, but. That was so moving, and watching that, how could people not get choked up and not understand that there is this new sheriff in town, so to speak, or this new movement this chance of revival and revival itself taking place. I'm very optimistic with respect to what Donald Trump can do. But it's not up to Trump alone. It's not up to Trump. It's up to each one of us. It's up to the people that are not in power. But it's from the bottom up. We have to make the changes. We have to be the inspiration for others. And we all have a job to do. And I think we have to keep that in mind. We can't just sit back and say, well, okay, you know, Mr. Trump, go for it. Change things. We have to be part of that change and be willing to work for that change and take our country back from the grips of this, from what we've seen with respect to the Saudi control, the foreign government influence. We have to take our country back from that.
Hey, you want to talk about foreign propaganda? What the hell is that all about, where Obama has appointed the Muslim Brotherhood to so many executive positions, like in the Department of Homeland Security? The Muslim Brotherhood is a vile terrorist organization, and yet that's okay But we on the other side, because we disagree with the government, we're propaganda artists. I mean, I go crazy with this. I want to have an Alex Jones moment and just explode.
Well,
Alex, but sometimes your anger is justified.
And I think we all have at this moment, I think we all have this, not just this ability, but this right to be angry and righteously angry, because we have seen our government infiltrated. We've seen our State Department being used as a vehicle to sell to the highest bidder our national secrets, and I don't think that's an overstatement whatsoever. We've seen the Clintons become self-enriched through the horrific events in Haiti. We've seen William Jefferson Clinton on the lecture circuit for 10 years make $105.5 million, and most of that was from foreign entities and foreign governments. We've seen the graft so much. And you're right about the Muslim Brotherhood influence. The Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, while Secretary of State, Huma Abedin, her mother, sister, mother and sister, Muslim sisterhood, and the Muslim Brotherhood connections. You can't tell me.
I got to stop you here, my friend. I'm sorry. You are so on the money. My God, where did the time go? This is the second time in three visits I've done this to you. We got 30 seconds left. You've got a great book. Give the audience the title, and I'll tell them how to get it.
Oh, Stained by Blood.
Stained by Blood. Yeah. Go to thecommonsenseshow.com. Click on the banner ad there on the right-hand column. You can go there. It's also available on Amazon, Kindle, and all kinds of stuff. And Doug's show is right here on the great Global Star Radio Network. Best radio network in the nation for my money. And he's on from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time every Monday through Friday. For my money, the best show out there. Doug, thanks for joining us. Sorry against running up against the clock, but we got to scoot, and we'll see everybody else back in hour number two. What a great hour with Doug Hagman. And we got a little message to my friend Todd here. Todd, my clock must be off. Doug, I apologize for shooing you off. So let me give that promo the right way. Stain by Blood. Go to thecommonsenseshow.com. Easiest way to get this in my book. And you'll see right there Doug's picture. You'll see Stain by Blood. Click that on and you'll go right to the order page. Reasonably priced. Great, great read. You've heard us talk about it before. And again, his show, Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. And if there's a better show out there than the Hagman and Hagman Report with Doug and Joe, I don't know what is. It is just an awesome, awesome show. Anyway, James Wesley Rawls is up next. Jim is a storehouse of no-nonsense knowledge. Can't wait to get him back on again. We'll see you on the other side. Thanks for tuning in, and stay with us. Don't go away. Still got 2 hours to go.